The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Good evening. Welcome to the 20. Hallelujah. Before I start, I have this leading in my heart to pray for students who are writing the exams, who have the exams this period. Also, just if you're in that category, you can just lift your hands. Let me just say a word of prayer. I just sense we should do that. You're writing your exam. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're not in this category, just say a word of prayer for those ones. It just came strong in my heart this evening. And I know there's a portion for them. There's a portion for them. That's why it's coming. That's why it's coming. There's a portion for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mandishka randushka barendeshka vateda. Bete deba shomba late deba rekadiga duskobanda. Pelagiandro du suveteya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray and we receive for every student under the sound of my voice now, the help of God. The help of God in your exams. That help will first be manifested in you having strength to read. Strength to read beyond how you've read before. Ability to understand that difficult areas will now become easy for you. In the name of Jesus. Then that strength will be manifested. That help will be manifested in God keeping you strong throughout this period. You shall be strong health wise. Your health will not crack. You will not lose your focus. You will be emotionally stable. Psychologically stable. You shall be physically stable throughout this period. In the name of Jesus. We deal with distractions on your path. In the name of Jesus. And I also receive for you the help of God in the area of guidance. You will know exactly where to read, what to focus on, in the name of Jesus. And even for the exams that you've written, you're enjoying help. Somehow, the people handling your scripts will handle it with so much favor. They'll handle it with so much favor. For some reason, and by the reason of the help of God, they will defer to you. Instead of rounding your figures down, they will round it up. In the name of Jesus, may the help of God be yours this season. May the help of God locate you this season. May the areas where you have struggle, may those struggles come to an end now. In the name of Jesus, this will be your best result so far. This will be your best results ever. In the name of Jesus. And I rebuke the spirit of fear that has been tormenting your heart. Right now, they will torment your heart no more. No room for fear. No room for worry. No room for anxiety. From now, you enjoy peace. And I pray that even the little you will have to rest will be enough for you. Yes, you will rest a little, but you wake up stronger. That which is known as supernatural rest, you begin to enjoy it from now. In the name of Jesus. We receive by the end of this academic year, when the results will be out, people from here having outstanding results. Outstanding results. Outstanding results. And if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that a lecturer has marked for evil, from now, I put God's favor upon you. From now, that which the lecturer has said will happen, because I'm seeing someone like that. That's received such a threat. If you don't do this, this will happen. From now, the person will begin to look at you favorably now. It will not happen. The favor of God is upon you. Remember, the Lord told us he has marked us with honor. And that honor will be evident upon your life. From now, the exams you've written and the exams you still have to write, you are now operating from the blessing. No longer from your effort, but from the blessing and the results we speak. No carryovers. No extra years. No D's. No E's. If you believe, no C's. You will have the best of what you are looking for. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you watch the word of your servant to confirm it. Thank you because we will see testimonies in this light and in this regard. Satan, you know I know you. So you are rebuked from their affairs. You are rebuked from everything that concerns them. Don't go close to their mind. Don't go close to their scripts. Don't go close to their focus. Don't go close to their health. Don't go close to their finances. In the name of Jesus. It is victory all round to the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Do you believe this for them? Can we rejoice with them all over this place? Hallelujah. Praise God. This next set of students that are graduating, we will have the exceptional students from this church. Yes. As it happened last year, it will happen this year again. So you count the first five, the first ten. You will find them here. First class results. Second class upper results. The people that have even given up on their results, God will work miracles. But as people that have given up, you've seen your GP first year, second year, and you say, oh, this plan is not for me. Well, if you believe this next exam is going to just be all A's, then your seminar A, then your project A, then God will take it up from there. And I believe that is possible. And he will do it for you. Do you believe? Glory to God. Are you ready for the word of God? Are you ready? Say, I have revelation of the written word. Say, it is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. Revelation is mine. I do not walk in darkness. I walk in the light. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our seat. Good evening. This is the 20th, so we have 10 more days. You know, if I were you, I will make up my mind that this remaining 10 days, that I will be around for all of them. Just make up your mind that this remaining 10 days, I will be around throughout. Amen. I said amen. And we are going to be blessed. So we are still looking at the God life, and it's such a beautiful reality. Yesterday, you know, we took that teaching on spiritual intelligence a bit further to show you that yes, there is an intelligence of God in our spirit. But the statement I made is that I hope you didn't forget that the content of our spirit is the content of the Word of God. What is found in the Word of God is what is found in your spirit. So it's actually by reading the Word of God that you find out what is in your spirit. You know, I've been talking about your spirit, you know, your inward man. There is an inward man, right? There's an inward man. You know, Paul talks about it in Romans 7, verse 22. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So he's telling us the state of the inward man. The inward man is that perfect part. That's your spirit. It delights in the law of the Lord. Give me like another translation of this, you know, NLT or any other one. He said, I love God's automatic. Give me like a fair classic. For I endorse the Lord. Let me say this. If I explain. Have you observed, and because this is very important, this is not in my topic, but I just feel I should talk about it. Have you observed that sometimes the Bible could say something and then you use another translation and then it's saying something entirely different? Now let me teach you. There is a way to use translations of the Bible. Not every translation is correct on every verse. Are you following me? Because most times, what translators try to do is that they try to explain. And most times, in trying to explain, if the person translating the thing already has a bad understanding of that verse, he's going to explain it in that light. Which is why if you listen to most Bible teachers, they always tell you to bring the King James. It's not because the King James is the one from heaven. It's just because the King James was just translated directly from the original manuscript. Right? Another translation that is very close to that is the Amplified Classic. Because it doesn't try to explain. It just gives you the many words used for that. You get the point? Like, if he mentions one word, it can give you 3-4 words used, just trying to give further meaning to the words. But some of the translations like NLT, which is a translation I like using a lot, there's nothing wrong with it, right? But there are some verses you can read, and it's not actually giving you the right thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Even message, even passion. So how do we do this? Very simple. Learn the Bible for yourself. How do you do that? I told the media team to get a document, an app on their software. You've not gotten it now. Have you tried getting it? Get it by tomorrow. That's what I just said. Amen. Now, there is a strong concordance. So that strong concordance helps you see the original meaning of words. So that's actually what I used to study. When I'm now done studying, I can now check other. Let me tell you why I use other translations in teaching is because, of course, the English sometimes is simpler than the King James. So I will now check other translations that agree with my study. Are you following what I'm saying now? For instance, NLT here said, "I delight after the law of the Lord. I delight the Lord." He said, "I love God's law with all my heart." That's not what he's saying. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is talking about the word man. So it's put like a very classic, so you understand. He said, "For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self, with my new nature." He was talking about the state of the inward man. The state of the inward man loves the law of God. He delights in the law of God. That's the state of the inward man. That's that spirit. You know why? It is perfect. So Paul, if I see the next verse, so I can get the context. By the time we get to the next verse, he said, "But I discern in my bodily members a different law." So Paul is actually making a contrast between his inward man and the outward man, which is the flesh. Do you understand? So give me like, go to King James. He's trying to say that even though in the inward man, he delights in the law of the Lord, but in his members, that is his physical body, he said there is another law. Do you understand? Working within his body. And so, that's what you find out. A believer could be really, really saved and still love to smoke. Are you getting the point? It is not because he's not saved. In his inward man, he delights in the law of the Lord. That is an inward man. But he has to now renew his mind, which is take the content of that inward man and feed his mind with it. When he feeds his mind with it, he will bring his mind, his body, to conform to the state of his inward man. Are you following me? So that's why if you're not careful with the Bible study, you will look at matters in the Bible and be like, "No, that's not true." Because the Bible will tell you things like, "You're not in the flesh, you are in the spirit." It doesn't say you will be, it says you are. It will say things like, "The love of God is shed abroad in your heart." Even you that know that you are a very hateful and bitter person, the Bible says the love of God, you're wondering, "Is it me? Maybe I'm not even born again." Because if I was born again, I've heard people say things like, "If you are born again, you will not be acting that way." That's not entirely correct. You can be born again and be acting that way. The only difference is you've not allowed your body and your mind to conform to the nature of your spirit. Are you following what I'm saying now? Which is what we call renewing the mind. That's actually why we come to church. We do not come to church to become something we've never been. We just come to church to conform to who we are already. To conform to who we are already. So, for instance, we are righteous men in Christ. Is that correct? But that righteousness is your spirit. In the flesh, you can still find yourself having some crazy desires to misbehave. Then, by renewing the mind, which is schooling your mind on God's word. Because God's word is the content of your spirit. Or God's word tells you what is contained in your spirit. So when you school your mind with God's word, you are telling your mind, "This is now who we are. This is now who we are. We are no longer this. We are now this." Are you following me, friends? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Imagine someone was born as a man. Then one day he grows up to a point and says he wants to do transgender and changes himself to a woman and begins to act like a woman. You know, whether you change yourself or not, if you're a man, you're a man. You know, right? So he begins to practice acting like a woman, begins to walk like a woman, and over the years, he has mastered how women behave. Then one day he meets Jesus and he gets saved. And then his pastor tells him, see, you're a man, you have to go back to. I'm giving you an example. Of course, you know he has to. Jesus, hear this, friends. Jesus does not reject you no matter how you are. But Jesus does not accept for you to remain how you are. No. No matter how you are, he will accept you. But when he accepts you, you have to change. Just like he will now empower you to change. Say amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So that's clear. So the pastor now says, you're not a woman, so you have to turn back to man. So he now goes, changes whatever to man. But observe what I'm saying. He has learned how to behave like a woman over the years. And so even though he's now a man that he originally was, he will still be, his mannerisms will still be like a woman because he has learned it. So when we are trying to tell him, don't do that. That's not how men behave. We are not teaching him how to make himself a man. We are teaching him how to act like a man because he is already a man. Now, that's what we do in Christianity. We are not teaching you how to be righteous. We are teaching you how to walk in your righteousness because God has made you righteous. Are you getting the point now? 2 Corinthians 5:31 tells us that God, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It didn't say we will be. We are. We are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so, but then, do we always act righteous? No. But we have to school our mind. For our mind to know that this is now our new identity. We are no longer who we used to be. This is a new person. When people hear us teach and they say, people ask me, are you a grace preacher? And it makes me laugh. I don't know what you mean by a grace preacher. I just preach the Bible. Do you understand? But if what you mean by grace preacher is that I preach that people are righteous by faith, then I'm a grace preacher. Full-blooded grace preacher. Now, if what it means, if grace preacher means that I preach salvation by faith alone, then I'm a grace preacher. The mistake people make, when people say, I don't like all these grace preachers or this, there are two reasons why people don't like them. Reason number one is because there are half-baked teachers. I get to the point. Who preach, and if you hear them, you almost think they're trying to say, your conduct doesn't matter. Anything you do is fine. They're almost preaching licentiousness. Are you following the point? But not many grace preachers are like that, actually. The second reason is because many have not heard the full message. For instance, if you read Paul's letter, if you read Romans 3 and Romans 4 and Romans 5, if you read this letter, you will think that Paul is saying, because once you are saved, you are righteous. Nothing can change it. These letters are very... By the time you now get to chapter 6, you now say, shall we continue with sin so that grace may abound? He is now beginning to teach you how to walk in everything he mentioned in chapter 3, 4, and 5. Are you getting what I'm talking about? He is now teaching you. That's why you now get to verse 11 of chapter 6. He now says, reckon ye yourself dead to sin. Right? Reckon yourself. He's now teaching you how to become. Remember that in verse 6 of this chapter 6, he already said you are dead to sin. Give me verse 6. He said, knowing that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth should not serve sin. Verse 7, he said, for he that is dead is free from sin. So he said we are free from sin. We are dead to sin. He now got to verse 11 and said, reckon yourself dead to sin. In other words, begin to see yourself like what I said you are. That's the complete message. So it's not you are saved so that you can misbehave. Why we admit that your character cannot save you? That's another wrong teaching. Your lifestyle cannot save you. Can't save anybody. It is faith in Christ that saves. But we also affirm that faith in Christ has something it does to a person. It now empowers you to live a certain kind of life. To talk in a certain kind of way. as you begin to walk in the content of your spirit, as you begin to walk as God has made you. And what, why am I doing all this introduction? Because that's the thing about this God life. We carry the life of God in us. But just because we carry it does not mean it will be evident in our lives. We must learn how to walk in it. Are you following the point? We have the life of God. But just because we have it and we say we have it does not mean we will automatically begin to walk in it. It doesn't work that way. So that's why when we say some of the things we say, people say, if this you are saying is true. So for instance, I can come out and tell you that everything that you need to become a wealthy man is already in the believer. Somebody is going to say, I don't agree with that. Because I know somebody that I've been serving God since 90 Abraham. He died poor in my village. I'm sorry for that he died poor. But it doesn't change what I said. Because the fact that you have it does not mean that you walk in it. Because to start with, many don't even know that they have. Are you following me? We have the life of God. And for instance, look at what we did last week. We are looking at long life. Life and immortality. Do you know that not half of believers in this country don't know that they carry that kind of ability in them? Many don't know that they actually have the ability to prolong their death. And to accept, I get what I'm saying now, prolong their life. Many don't know. But it's something that is in every believer. It was not even, if I had done this teaching I did last week in the early church, it would not be a strange thing. They don't know that they say, yes, yes, yes. I get what I'm saying. Because that was the life they knew. But now, it's like a strange revelation. Are you following the point? As a matter of fact, all the places we land, now that's very interesting, about that life and immortality, most of this was read in that teaching. Was not Paul teaching. It was just Paul gisting people. It was then the Philippian church. You know, I was thinking whether I should die or I should go. He wasn't even teaching it. Peter, the same thing. He was saying, the reason I'm teaching this is because God assumed that I'll be dying very soon. So I just want to tidy this up because I know it wasn't a strange idea to them that people could prolong their lives. But we don't know. So because some of believers do not know these things, they're going to die. And that's what I'm going to say to you. Every truth you find in God's word, and you've confirmed is the truth in God's word, even if you are not seeing it in the life of another Christian, don't use that Christian to judge yourself. Because you don't know what they know. You don't know what they believe. If I say a Christian can live his life without being sick, you've seen it in the Bible and you believe it is possible. Don't be thinking, but as a pastor I know in my village that is sick. That's not the point. The point is, what did God's word say? God's word is a standard. I feel what I'm talking about now. Like I'm talking about this period now, spiritual intelligence. We carry it. Now I know you're going to tell me that you know some people in your class that were believers and they came last in class. Now that's possible too. But it doesn't change the fact that what I'm saying is true. Say amen. Amen. And even if you are here, you've been coming last in your class. Or you've been acting foolishly. There are Christians that act very foolishly. It doesn't mean that they don't have that intelligence. It means they first have not even found out that they have. And they're not conforming themselves to it. They're not conforming themselves to it. Let me ask you a question. Because you know, there's one thing to have something. Another thing is to walk in it. Who do we call, though that's not correct, but let's use it. Who do we call the wisest man in the world to have ever lived? Solomon. So was he really wise? He was really very wise, as I've shown you. But Solomon married 700 women. Was that wisdom? That was not wisdom. That's what I'm trying to make. In that area of his relationship, he didn't walk in wisdom. How do you know that? By the time you read Ecclesiastes, he will tell you all his vanity upon vanity. Because Ecclesiastes was a book he wrote towards the end of his life. So he has weighed everything and said, So in that area of his relationship, he didn't walk in wisdom. Did he have wisdom? Yes. Did he walk in it? No. So that you don't can say the wisest man on earth married 700 wives. I'll marry 2,000. Now you go wrong. Because to start with, you know,
towards the end of Solomon's life, it was those women that turned his heart from the Lord. Not really because women are bad. But if you look at what Solomon did, you will see how unwise. It looked wise in the natural, but it wasn't very wise. He married from almost every kingdom around Israel. And most times he married their princesses. Now watch this. That in a way made sure that Israel had peace with all those nations. But the problem was, he let all of them come with their gods. So he built a shrine for all those gods in Israel. I thought I saw this Solomon recently. That was an unwise thing by a wise person. So even though we have the wisdom of God, if we do not apply it in certain areas of our life, we can be foolish in that area. Totally foolish. Are you getting the point? So by the time Solomon, imagine 700 wives, everyone had their gods. So towards the end of his life, all those women turned his heart from the Lord to all those idols. So he was making sacrifices to different idols towards the end of his life. And the result showed, by the time he left, he was the last on that throne. He was the last on that throne to govern the whole Israel. By the time Rehoboam came, that's the son, Rehoboam just had Judah and Benjamin also to govern. The kingdom was divided by the end of his reign. So he was a wise king, no doubt. I guess what I'm saying now. So the fact that God has given us wisdom doesn't mean that it's an automatic thing. We must deliberately work in it. We must deliberately align ourselves with this intelligence on our inside. We got our teaching yesterday on the word of God. Why you should walk in the word. Because any area of your life, and just completing this teaching, any area of your life where you do not walk in the word of God, you'll be walking foolishly in that area. Say, a believer can be wise in his finances and foolish in his relationship. Because in his finances, he walked in God's word. In his relationship, he left God's word out. Any area of your life where you are not applying the word of God, you are walking in foolishness. You are walking in foolishness. So you see people that can be wise in ministry. If they counsel you in ministry, your brain will burst. But they are foolish in their daily dealings. They are foolish with their health. There are some that are foolish with their health. Because they are not walking in the word of God in the area of their health. Are you what I'm talking about now? Some are foolish in their relationships. In how they run their marriage. Some are foolish in how they raise their children. They don't apply that intelligence there. Because they refuse to walk according to the word of the Lord. That is why it's so important. It's so important that you decide to walk in these things. You can be foolish in your workplace. Yes. Because we saw in the Bible yesterday that it's a way to conduct yourself in your workplace. Anything outside that is foolishness. That's a way to act in your workplace. If you're in your workplace and you're working in, you know, and in and with eye service. And I didn't show you many processes today because of our time, and I don't even think I have time for that today. If you are working with eye service, that's foolishness in your workplace. Now you might be a wise person in church, doing your ministry very well, but foolish. That's why you can see some people, perfect businessmen, believers, but bad family people. Because in their business, they're applying the word. In their family, they leave the word of God out. Are you following the point? God's word should come into every area of your life. Every area. You see some perfect pastors, but bad fathers, bad parents at home. Because they think that the word of God should only be applied in ministry. There are pastors that their children cannot approach to talk to. They don't have any relationship with their parents, with their children. But you know the funny thing about that? If you see them in church, Daddy, good evening. Daddy, you are the best that have happened to me. And the people in church mean it. When they say, the children are wondering, who is the best that have happened to you? Because you don't know him. I get what I'm saying. You see pastor's wife that can be like that too. Hey, brother, good evening, ma. Good evening, mom. Oh, then the children are wondering, why are they saying, when on her birthday, they say, you know what I like about mama? Is that mama is just so kind.
And the children are wondering, okay, is it this mama? Or, you know, you get the point. As far as I'm concerned, you are lying. But sometimes members are not lying. The woman is walking in the wisdom of God in church, knowing how to treat church members, how to treat, but then does not know how to do the same at home. Some walk in wisdom towards their children, but not towards their husband. That one is a story for another day. You know, one of God gave an example. He says some women love their children and train their husband. Instead of training their children and loving their husband. I gave a very clear example. If your child, your child, you know, 4 years, 5 years, is walking and spills water. You say, oh, junior boy, did you just spill water? Mommy loves you, don't do that again, okay? Go, let's clean it. But if your husband spills water, how can a full-grown man not be able to take care of himself? So you see, the energy you should have given your children, you should have told your child, why would you spill water? Go bring him up and come and clean it. That's now energy I'll give your husband. If anybody spills water in this house, he will clean it. Do you understand? So, you're just loving your husband, or your children, and they are training your husband. And you can never succeed. Suppose that the mother could not train for how many years before he married you. Never. The mother has been training him and she failed in the training. You see that you are trying to get him to learn? The mother tried and the mother did not succeed. So he will never learn it. So just love him. Amen. Ask any sister around you. Are you the one pastor is talking to? Say amen. Just love him. Because you know why you should love your husband and love your wife? Because you saw everything before you said, I do. They didn't give you that man as a baby. They gave you the man as a full grown man. And you looked at everything and said, I accept. So why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? Accept and love. You know, that's why love your husband, I'll be love your wife, both of them. Is an instruction in God's word because love is not automatic. You have to deliberately love. So when you are loving your wife as a man, you are walking in wisdom. When you are loving your husband and submitting to him, you're walking in wisdom. When you are doing anything outside this, you are being foolish. Are you following me? I'm saying all of this to say that it is possible to walk in wisdom in one area of your life and walk foolishly in another area. Yes. It is possible to walk in the wisdom of God or to apply that divine intelligence in the area of your studies. Then you don't do it in the area of your ministry. You see someone, a student in school, she's so serious with her books, very diligent, goes to class. That right there is the wisdom of God. Right? She doesn't cheat. She's just very serious. She doesn't... Very, that's the wisdom of God. But that student now says, I can't be coming to church as people want to. That's not foolishness. Because, I know what I'm talking about. The wisdom of God says you should show up in church as we see the day approaching. Now, let's reverse it. Another person is very serious with the church, carrying instruments and mic on her head, but does not read her book. Very foolish person too. I get the point. That's very foolish. Yeah, I'm not going to read because Pastor talk about spiritual intelligence. I just glanced through my book and it sticks. That's how your lecturer will glance through your book and see it did not write anything. I give you zero. I get the point. Because even the intelligence we have in Christ, we still have to read our Bible to walk in it. Seller. That is, no matter how smart you are, I have to read your book to walk in the intelligence. So everywhere you look, I want you to always ask yourself, because I'm going to move on from this point now, but always ask yourself, in any area of your life, am I applying the word of God here? Am I walking in the word of God in this area of my life? That's how you know how wise or how stupid you are. I know I have a roommate, we are staying together.
in my flow with her or with him, am I really walking in wisdom? I know she can be annoying, but have I really walked in the wisdom of God in this relationship? That question you ask yourself. Have I really done what the world will have me do? Because that is what wisdom is. So, in other words, you're asking yourself, have I done what my spirit man would have done? See what I'm asking. Have I done what my spirit man would have done if I didn't have a mind and didn't have a body? Have I done what my spirit would have done? You know, spirit is the real you. See, imagine if I don't have a mind and I don't have a body. If it's only my spirit standing here, my born again, recreated, refreshed spirit. Have I done what it would have done? That is the wisdom of God. That is that intelligence. Are you following me, friends? So first of all, I said yesterday, you have to, you know, renew your mind with God's word. That's all we said yesterday. Renew your mind with God's word and live according to the word of God. Then today I'm going to say, as we proceed from there, of course, prayer. And that thing that helps you assess this intelligence that we have in Christ. And from this prayer, we're going to talk about many things here now. So I said this intelligence we have in our spirit man is that we should pray. We should pray. We should pray. Especially praying in tongues. You know, there's so much about the wisdom of God in our hearts. I told you from day one, let me refresh your mind, that wisdom can help you invent things. Do you remember that? It can help you solve difficult problems. We saw the example of Daniel, how he cracked the problem in Babylon. We saw Joseph as an example, how he even gave an economic advice to the king of Egypt. Not a spiritual advice. Joseph had never gone to an economic school. He wasn't a graduate of economics, but he gave a counsel that is being studied in most business schools today. Joseph's counsel. There's a business school actually currently called Joseph's Business School. Founded on the ideology that Joseph set forth in Exodus, in Genesis. And the man that set it forth has never been to a higher institution. Just by that divine intellect. Are you following me, friends? We saw many of those examples. We saw Bezalel and Aholiab, who were specially gifted by God to work in brass and gold and the rest of them. So we are seeing that the intelligence we carry in our head can do more than we actually think it can do. Now, one of the ways we tap into that intelligence is by prayers. Especially praying in tongues. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14 tells us that when we pray in the Spirit, he said that our understanding is unfruitful. That's very serious. He said, when I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding. So he's saying that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, Shandabako, Brateka, Zapandia, now your natural understanding is unfruitful. In other words, it does not understand anything you are saying. Do you follow? So if it is unfruitful, my understanding, my mind is unfruitful. What part of me is active when I'm praying in tongues? Look at that verse. What part? My spirit. So when you are praying in tongues, you understand, your mind stops working, your spirit starts working. Do you follow what I'm saying now? That's why people say, so I'm praying in tongues, but I don't even know what I'm saying. It's sounding like gibberish to my mind. If it's sounding like gibberish to your mind, then it's correct. If it's making grammatical sense to you, then it's not correct. Because my understanding becomes unfruitful as I switch into tongues. The part of me that is working when I'm praying in tongues is my spirit. Look at that verse again. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding, that's my mind, is unfruitful. Are you getting the point? In fact, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 tells us that when you pray in an unknown tongue, that no man can understand you. In other words, it's not a language common to men's mind. He said, but in the spirit you are speaking mysteries.
So when you're praying in tongues, your spirit man is speaking forth mysteries. Oh, you need to get this. So there are mysteries in your spirit man that until you begin to speak in tongues, you cannot speak them. You cannot know them. Give up the very classic of this verse. Oh, yes. Therefore, he who speaks an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning. Because in the spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things, not obvious to the understanding. So there are things that's why I said we carry a higher intelligence. There are things that are not obvious to everybody's understanding. But when you begin to pray in tongues, you speak them forth. Which is why the believer who understands tongues, people just think tongues, what to say in church, let's pray in tongues. After today, you use it better. Yes. When you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking forth things, mysteries, hidden truths that are not common to the mind. You say, sir, is that not about spiritual truths? Yes, it is. But that is if you are praying over a spiritual matter. If I'm praying over my studies in tongues, the mysteries I'll be speaking, will there be about Ephesians, Colossians, I'll be about my studies? My studies. I get the point. Just like we're going to get to that maybe on Monday or so. If I pray in tongues over Brother Jeremiah, and I begin to get the interpretation, will I be getting interpretation about Revelation or Jude? It's about Brother Jeremiah. If I pray in tongues about my health, the interpretation will be about my health. So the things you speak forth in the spirit, when you pray in tongues, is concerning anything you are praying over. So hear this. There are secrets, truths that your mind cannot carry concerning any matter. But when you begin to pray over that matter in the spirit, you speak forth those truths. I pray you got it. So that's why you realize, you know, almost everybody that you see that flowed in that kind of divine excellence, divine wisdom, they pray in tongues a lot. A lot. Brother Egan will always tell us how that throughout his life, he never lost any business deal. But the secret is, when you bring a business deal to Brother Egan, he will tell you, let me go home. Do you know what he goes to do? He goes to pray in tongues. Because when he prays in tongues, he prays forth the divine intelligence in that matter. So he can finish praying and come and tell you, I'm not doing the deal. You are showing him, the papers are clear. The projections is showing that in 3 months, I may say, I'm not doing the deal. Because you are operating from the natural intelligence. Oh, are you getting the point? But he has tapped into that supernatural intelligence to tell you that deal will not go through. I get what I'm saying? Yes. If you can begin to use this, we're coming to some of these things. Shobalekpo said when, I've told the story here many times, when they were going to get the current land, where Canaan land is currently located. He said when they were driving to the place, he said he was angry because he was so sure they would not take it. Because it was not anything good. The road was bad. The road is even still bad. Road was bad. Bush everywhere. As they were going, it was like I said, I don't want to build church. You are taking me to forest. He said, but when they got there, he just said, well, we are here. He said, he almost told them, let's turn back. But they were on a convoy, and he didn't want to, you know, just for effort. Those guys have worked out. So he just got there and saw the place. He said, well, we're not taking it, but let's just give thanks in this place. Lift your hands. Shambara de Kobara. The Lord said, this is the place. I get the point. So naturally, that was a bad deal. But the higher intelligence have seen 15 years from that day and said, take it. So let me give you an example. How did Daniel, how was he able to explain or even get to, first of all, what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was
and give the explanation. Let me show you. Daniel chapter 2. To verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar has made up his mind to kill them. To kill Daniel and all his friends, all his companions. Who were his companions? He gathered all the wise men in the land. All the wise men, Daniel inclusive. And he had one request. Tell me my dream. Tell me the meaning. I get the point. And why was he making that request of them? There were people that claimed to have some sort of intelligence. And they failed. So in verse 13, he has decided, you know, that all of them will be killed. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So it was one that was supposed to kill them. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and said of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. So he told the king, give me time, I have the meaning. Now, at the time when Daniel was speaking, he didn't know it. But he knew that if he consults his spirit, he will have it. So, Daniel, verse 17, went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Do you remember them? That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. So it was when he prayed that God showed him. Are you following me? So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I want us to just continue. Let me show you the terms he used in blessing the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge them that know understanding. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He said, I thank thee, O thou my God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So he thanked the Lord that gives understanding, that reveals secrets. So that is a God that reveals secrets. So if you are actually about to do any business, or there's any matter, and you want to get to what can I do beyond what is said in the book? Are you following me? If you switch to pray, you will shut down. Remember praying in tongues. You shut down your mind. Then you begin to speak forth mysteries from the Spirit. Listen to what I'm saying. Every time, which is why I'm going to say something. Every time you pray in tongues, you are saying something. Do you know? I wish this can be. It's something we know, but I want to repeat so it can settle. Every time you pray in tongues, you are saying something. Like you are saying something meaningful. Look at the problem. I am praying over this. What are we praying over now? Okay, our church building. Which, by the way, we're going to pray over tomorrow. Amen. One of the things that we're going to pray the Lord is going to give us with that building is speed. Now we're going to pray. God has promised that already. He's going to give us speed. Shout amen.
Amen.
There will be no delays.
Amen.
Now we are praying over spiritual hope. We pray in English. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. We now begin to pray in tongues over the matter. For every syllable you speak in tongues, there's something you are saying about the building. Every syllable. Now, don't ever think that we are doing, you're not wasting your time. Every syllable, you're saying something. Which is why, if you learn what I'm going to show you today, you will now learn how to know what you spoke forth in tongues. Because once you know what you spoke forth in tongues, you've tapped into the wisdom of the Spirit. Are you following me? So, this is why a believer has access to some sort of intelligence another person carries. To start with, because of that life in him, he can read what every other person reads and understand it at a different level. Now, when even where that thing he read stops, he can see higher than that. He can see further things than that. You will see what's going to happen to you in this meeting. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because when you begin to pray in tongues, it opens you up to the leadings of God. There are two major things I'm going to discuss from today and tomorrow. That is the leadings of God, right? Via inward man, which I'm going to talk about shortly. Then that is the revelation gift of the Spirit. I'll talk about that maybe tomorrow or next. I don't know whether I will get to that. But so, when you begin to pray in tongues, remember, your inward man is perfect. He knows everything. When you now begin to pray in tongues, God will begin to lead you through that inward man over the matter. That is the intelligence of God. People think divine leading is just God telling you, don't cross my road. Accident is about to happen. That is that part. But there's also the part of course, there is that part, and it's a very good thing. But let me tell you this story. A man shared this, so I think it's Pastor Goodwin, not Goodwill, he's in the US. He said, one of those nights, in the midnight, he got up and saw the wife praying so passionately. Recently, Pastor Kwaju even told the story. Praying so passionately. So he said, why are you praying? He said, I don't know. I'm going to go up to this very shortly, but I just have this burden in my heart to pray. So they prayed. She said, I feel something's about to go wrong with someone. So they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until they felt peace and then they slept. So the next morning, they made a few calls to their friends to know if there was any issue with them the previous night, but they said no. So they just let the matter rest, but they've just prayed. A few weeks after that, somebody comes to testify in church of that same day. He said, around 3:30 in the morning, he had a vision, he had a dream. And in that dream, that was when Reverend Pastor Goodwin, they were done praying. He said, in that dream, he went to work. And I'm telling you that God can minister safety by higher intelligence. He went to work and he saw his boss wearing a particular shirt. And the boss said, can you please go up there and help me fix this thing that was damaged? So he climbed up there to fix that thing, and that equipment cut off his head. And he died. So he woke up. He didn't make anything out of it. Only that he now got to work that morning and saw the boss wearing that exact shirt. So he was still trying not to make anything out of it. Then the boss now said, please climb up there. Now look at this. So he told him, he said, sir, I'm not going to do it. He said, why? He told him the dream. He said, you are wearing this exam shirt. And he told me to climb up there and do this. And then my head was cut off and I died. So I'm not going to do it. So someone there, a man there, who was a dick in his church, a believer too, said, I don't know why you guys are just too superstitious. Climbed up there. Exactly the same thing. Died. Now, let me tell you, there's an intelligence we have, but if you don't use it, you will die. There were all guys are just too superstitious. Which one is you saw whatever? Exactly the same thing. Played out. We are not without help. Right? When we begin to pray, now, the young man in this question did not pray, but this pastor and the wife were praying for him at home. They didn't even know they were the ones he was praying for, or he was the one they were praying for. But of course, by that prayer, his eyes opened to the intelligence in his spirit. Because that spirit sees the future. He knows what will happen. And he said, no, I'm not going to climb up there. And thank God he didn't. That's why we have a testimony today. Because that's the leading of God in our hearts. But I'm saying that leading goes beyond safety stories like this to other things. Someone can know what to do in his studies by that leading. Someone can know what to do in his career by that leading. Someone can know what to do in his job by that leading. So by that leading of the Spirit, through the inward man, you can solve problems. You can solve difficult problems. And that's actually how I pastor. You say, well, you're in ministry. What do you expect? Actually, well, what do you expect again? That's why I pastor. There are problems that come up in church that can only be solved by the word. I just checked in one man and get the answer from there. Because look at what I found out. Every problem I encounter, my spirit man has an answer. Don't forget this thing I just told you. Every problem I encounter, my spirit man has an answer for it. Every problem. My spirit man has an answer for every problem. It's something you can say. But no, whether you say it or not, it's the truth. It's the truth. When the Bible said that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, you think it's a joke? Everything that pertains to life and godliness, we have. And it's not because God put money in your heart and put car and put house. No. That's because he gave you a lot of things that, for instance, your spirit man, this leading of the spirit, is enough to solve any problem. So, I begin to show you some how to read this. That's what you call the inward witness. Let me explain to you how this leading comes. For some that are hearing it for the first time. That is what you call the inward witness. Romans, now let me explain. I've explained the word witness a lot. I have a book on how to be led by the Spirit. So you can get it. But I'm going to try to break it down a little more today. That is the inward witness. You remember that inward man which we saw earlier? It has a witness. That's what I'm telling you. That inward man has a witness. That inward man has a voice. I'm coming to the voice. Because he's a full man. Now, what is the inward witness? How many of you are born again here? How do you know you are born again? How do you know? Prove to me that you are born again. You guys are speaking in tongues. That's how you know. You can explain to me, I have the life of God in me. I say, I've not seen the life of God in you. Show me, prove that you are born again. We know we are born again because there is a witness of the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 16 tells us that the Spirit itself, which should have been written as himself, because it's not an it. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it's just a knowing. It's a knowing. You just know it. That is a witness of the Spirit. No, it's not like you heard a voice where a voice said, my son, from now, you are my child. No. Did you hear the voice? You just did. I just said it. So there was no day we heard that kind of voice. My child, from now, you are born again. If anybody says, are you born again? Say yes. You didn't hear that. You began to listen to the word of God. And that word of God began to correspond with your spirit man. And your spirit man is now bearing witness that you are born again. So, that same way there is a witness in your heart that says you are born again, that's the same way that inward man witnesses to everything that happens around you. So, what I'm saying is, that inward witness is not a voice. It is something your inward man knows. Okay, let me explain it to you. It's a reaction of your inward man. So, somebody just tells you, I'm going to give you a job. And you say, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And then from that place, as you are leaving, you went to pray. And you just went to pray, and your inward man is giving a strange, you're just feeling strange on the inside. You did not hear any voice. You don't even know why you're feeling that way. There is no thought, says the Lord. Are you following me, friends? But just the same way you know that you are born again, you know you shouldn't take that job. That's the inward witness. Again, the point. Just the same way you know you are born again, because you never heard anybody say you are born again, but you just know, just something feels off about this job. Everything is fine on the outside. But when I go to pray, especially when I go to pray, because what is happening, remember, once you start praying in tongues, your mind stops working. Your spirit begins to work. The spirit begins to, you just pray, pray. Even sometimes in the prayer, even thanking God. Oh, thank you, Father, for the job. But it feels cold. You foul spirits, get out of my mind. Cold. That's when word matter. Now, that is God talking to you. That's intelligence of God. This thing I'm telling you can give you many business deals. And they can save you from many scams. It has helped in many ways. That's helped me. Sometimes, it may not be looking good on the outside, but you just feel, let's go with it. Let's go with it. The place where we are building spiritual hub now, when we got there, but I didn't want to go. When they told me, they said, you know, the exact one wanted to buy, somebody has taken it. I said, okay. Say, but there's another one behind, but I don't know if you will like it. I said, okay, let's go. Now, when I got there, I did not hear any voice that said, oh, my son, this is it. No. But as I was entering there, I was already imagining, okay, the building here, unplanned. I can see the point. So my inward man just nodded. Sweet. Are you following me? I'm telling you, that is, it happens to, it's in everybody. Every believer. Let me show you some scriptures. In Acts 17, verse 16. This is the story of Paul. Acts 17, the Bible says, why Paul waited for them at Athens? His spirit, very key word, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the host to give that direction. So listen, Paul saw something on the outside with the eyes of the flesh, natural human eye. Then there was a response in his spirit to that thing. He was stirred. So what did Paul do in verse 17? Next verse. He began to preach to them. Even then he was said, he knew what it meant. He didn't hear any voice that said, I am my son, step out now, preach and take over the land. But when he had his spirit react that way, he knew what it meant. That's inward witness. Are you following me? If you take chapter 18 of the same Acts, verse 5. So chapter 17 said he was steered. Chapter 18, verse 5. Uses the word pressed. Bible said when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. You know, in all these things, he didn't hear anything. Just that his spirit will respond in a certain way. And he began to preach to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. So Paul did not always need to hear, thus says the Lord, my son, preach, preach, preach. Once his spirit gives a reaction, he knows that is God leading. Are you following what I'm saying? You carry that intelligence that enables you to know what to do. You know, let me break it down a little. What are the different ways this can show up? For instance, it can show up as a burden. This verse, he was pressed in the spirit. You just feel burdened. A burden that comes from nowhere. You just feel burdened about a certain matter. You don't even know why he's there. But God is trying to show you something. I'm not saying you've had bad news, and I'm afraid. I get the point. It's not fear. But then there's just a certain, you just feel this heaviness over a matter. Then God is talking to you. God is talking to you. It's not fear. Yeah, it's not fear. I have to correct that. It's not fear. Because anything fear is not the spirit of God. God doesn't lead with fear. Yeah, God doesn't lead with fear. Anything fear is the devil. It's a very simple test. Once I'm afraid, I know this unnecessary fear just well up in my heart. I know it's the devil. I don't need to guess what I say. It's not in word witness. It's the devil. But when there is this burden, it can come as a burden. Sometimes it will not show up as a burden. Sometimes it will show up as an assurance. There is something happening and you just know that this is it. You don't know how you know. Have you ever been reading for your exam and you just know that this thing will come out? This thing will be in the exam. You don't know how you know. You didn't hear any voice. God did not say, my son. But you just know. It's an assurance. You know, in Acts chapter 16, how did Paul and the rest know that God wanted them to go and preach in Macedonia? Of course, in verse 8 and verse 9, they had a vision. And in the vision, he said, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's verse 9. Come over to Macedonia and help us. But look at, so that vision, that could mean anything. It could just mean that Paul wanted to go to Macedonia. But look at verse 10. The Bible said, and after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Why? Assuredly gathering. Very important. Give me Alpha Classic. In other words, there was a conviction in their hearts. It's a confidently inferring that with everything that has happened, their spirit was saying, go to Macedonia. So they were, that, now I'm going to get to this one, maybe tomorrow or Sunday. Even when you see visions, visions are still interpreted by the inward witness. It's still what you know in your inward man that is the answer to a vision, not what you know in your head. Are you following me? So they saw that vision, they gathered, they concluded, they inferred, they assuredly gathered. Give me like NLT, let's see if you can see other words they used. NLT said, we concluded. They have a message, I think they put up a message just a few minutes ago. Message said, all the pieces came together. We knew now for sure that God had called us. How did they know? It's not in their head or in their mind. They knew in their spirit. So when Paul shared that vision, I told you the inward witness is a reaction of your spirit to whatever it is exposed to. So when Paul shared that vision to them, their spirit said, yes, what it means is that we are going to Macedonia. So the inward witness can come to you as a knowing, an assurance, just something you know. I know we should do this. It's how do you know? I don't know. I just know. You understand? So that's when I tell you that the Lord led me for us to do this in this church. Don't always think when you hear that I was sleeping in the night and the Lord woke me up around 1:30 a.m. in the morning and began to speak, say, my son, pick a pen and a paper and write. It can come that way, but not always. Not 99% of the time. Sometimes it's just what I know that this is it. I just know. Amen. Well, in my pastor's meeting last day, December, and in the middle of the meeting, I just held Mama Osita. I drew her clothes and I told her, we are going to buy a land next year and build a house next year. I just knew it. Now, that has to be God. Because when I knew it, we didn't have a dime in the account, but I knew. Some people, it takes them, for real, and this is not talking about any ministry, a ministry that it can take 6 years or 5 years to raise money to buy land. They will do launching. And I've been part of some of those ministries, big ministries actually. Some take 10 years to raise money for land. Now, here was I believing, telling my wife that we're going to buy land and build house in 1 year, as big or small as this ministry is. That has to be God. Why did I say it? I knew in my spirit. It's what you know. It's what you know. That in your business, they can be telling you, this will not pull through. And you've checked everything they said, they're making sense. But you just know. Every time you go to pray, you just know. Every time you go to pray, you just know. Go with what you know. Because at that point, you're no longer dealing with natural intelligence. Oh, are you following me, friend, this evening? You just know. You just know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that's the knowing of the Spirit. So this, we gathered. We concluded. We were convinced that God wanted us to go to Macedonia. Yes. So it came together in their hearts that this is it. So after this vision that Paul had, they didn't hear any other voice that said, my son, it's time. They just knew in their hearts. This could happen and you just know. You just know. You know, there are times I give you the word for the month because I heard it. There are times I give you the word for the month because I know it's the word for the month. I know it. I don't know it in my head. I know it in my spirit. Sir, how do I differentiate between spirit and my head? Well, I will do a long teaching on that, but let me just give you a simple hack that will help you. Of course, there is consistency, but let me not talk about that. Anything you know, and then every time you go to pray for 1 hour or two, the conviction increases. You go to pray again about it. Every time you go to pray, those increases, then you are correct. Because once you begin to pray, your mind starts functioning. observe there are certain things that you know, that when you stay away from prayer for long, you begin to doubt it. Does it happen to you? Because you know what? You stay away from prayer, your mind has come to play. Say, let's calculate it now. How do you intend to achieve this thing? Let's face reality. But then you don't face that. Once you go to pray, not like 5 minutes, shambaro, shambaro, yambaro, yambaro. Read prayer. You do like 2 hours. Not only are you coming out with a knowing, you have all the strategies written down. Yes. That's one of the easiest ways to know. You just know. You don't hear anything, but you just know. Sometimes when people are talking, everything that I say, it makes sense, but you know. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That's a knowing of the Spirit. It's the inward witness. Another way it can come to you, this inward witness leading and all that, it can come as a prayer point, a prayer direction. You can just be praying and you just feel very strong in your heart that you should pray concerning this matter. It's still a prayer button, like I said earlier. You just feel you should pray about this matter. What's everybody talking to you? Just feel a prayer direction. Just like praying about it. If I sometimes, let me say this to you. Sometimes you can be praying in tongues over a matter. Shakatabadaka brande skobarade lafiandosh. And you just catch yourself. You're already praying about something that you didn't plan to pray about. Has that happened to you? You're praying over. They say, let's pray, sister. Sister, who are we praying for now? Sister somebody. You just go, at first you're just praying in tongues. Before you know, you just catch yourself. You're saying, she will not die. You don't know where that is coming from. I get to the point. You just prayed out something from your spirit. Yes. You can confidently tell that sister, daughter, there is no need. But you can confidently tell her the devil was planning death for you, but God has reversed it. Not because God said anything, but by that direction of the spirit that came in that prayer, I can tell you that's what it is. You know, I was asking someone recently, and let me ask you, how did Jesus know that it was time for him to go to the cross? You know, he knew he was going to go to the cross from the time he came into the world. How did he know that it was time? It's by the leading of the Spirit. One classic example I'm going to give you is Matthew 26 verse 36. Think concerning Jesus. The Bible said, then come Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. Watch with me. He just began to feel that prayer burden. That's what I'm saying. When you feel that burden, don't sleep it away. Go and pray. I get what I'm saying now. Go and pray. He said, I just feel this. And when he went a little further, what came out of his mouth in the prayer? Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Just pour forth. But not my will, but your will. So by that prayer, he knew what it was. I get to the point. By the time you go all the way to verse 45, he came to the disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. He said, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. He just knew by the burden that came upon him and the prayers that he prayed, and everything, he just knew that this is it. We can actually know what is coming next. Sometimes I get to know. For instance, sometimes I get to know that there's an attack that's going to come against the church in a certain season. There are many ways I can work and tell, but sometimes how I know is what I'm sharing with you. I cannot be praying for the church, and I just find myself praying a particular prayer that does not make sense, at least with what we are seeing physically now. I get the point. I pray that prayer for somebody, praying for somebody in this church. Yeah, but I just find myself praying, crying. Say, Lord, preserve her. I say, which one is preserve again? That's your inward man picking those things. That's why I told you, every single tongue we speak in the spirit is not an empty word. It carries a meaning.
carries a meaning. You know what man knows things, so he knows many things. He knows many things. So like in your business, you can just begin to pray over your business and you begin to hear things like, we will not be defrauded. We will not be defrauded. And you pray. After praying, let me tell you what to do. Go and strengthen your... It means somebody is planning to defraud you. I'm just telling you the truth. And is that when it plays out and you are delivered, that you'll not be telling, hey, is that why I was praying that prayer? That was why. There are many things you will not achieve if you just go by this natural mind. But we have something more than that. So when we pray in tongues, our understanding is unfruitful, but our spirit is praying. Our spirit is praying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another way, for instance, if I can take it a step further, that you can have this intelligence show up when we pray. Or if I leave this, let's still on this inward witness matter. Another way it can show up is what I call supernatural perception. Where you just perceive things. I don't know how to explain perceive because it's still connected to the word, to the knowing. So it might not be too different. I just sense. Have you ever said things like, I'm feeling it strongly in my spirit that this is going to happen? Now, this is not fear. You go to pray and you're feeling it strongly in my spirit that this should be. That is divine leading. You know, Paul told them in Acts chapter 27, he said, I think verse 10, he said, sirs, I perceive. Because, you know, why they didn't take him serious? Because, well, he didn't have much knowledge of sailing. But then, more than that, he didn't use a spiritual term. You know, if Paul had appeared there and just said, Shakabarabadabadabaya, your name is Caesar. He said, yes, sir. Your name is what? It's Naphtali. He said, yes, sir. Your name is... He said, yes, yes. How did you know, sir? He said, I'm a prophet. Thus says the Lord. This damage, this ship is about to go down. They will believe him. But he just said, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and damage. I perceive. He didn't hear anything. I just perceive. I sense. I feel it strong. That's how we talk. I feel it strongly within. And I'm not talking about fear or worry. It's not about worry. Because if it is worry, when you go to pray and really pray, prayer will lift the worry. But you just go to pray. How many of you have ever stayed in your room and you feel strongly that something is going wrong with a family member? And you later confirm that it is true. Yes. I just feel it. That's your inward witness. You pray, he's there strong. I perceive. I want to see what other translations used. King James said, I perceive. What did NLT said, I believe. Okay, that's also good. I believe. I believe. How did you come about that belief? I don't know. But I just believe. I don't know. That's when an untrained Christian is talking. When a trained believer talks, how did it come about? I said, God told me. He said, what do you mean by God told you? Because the reaction of that's your inward witness, is God talking to you. It's not less powerful than thus says the Lord. It's not. It's your spirit. And your spirit and the spirit of God has become one. That's a reborn spirit. So whatever he knows is perfect. So I believe that there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck. Loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. You know, when Paul was saying this, everything was fine on the outside. But he told them, I believe, let's not go, let's stay here. I get to the point. It doesn't make sense. But that's why the guy is operating with a higher intelligence. He wasn't in their realm. Are you following me, friends? Give me like Amplified Classic. I perceive. He said, I perceive. I like to say, after careful observation. Now, was it Paul observing the ship? No. What did he know about sailing? So, he has done some observation in his spirit and has come to this conclusion. This voyage. So what it means is, maybe, let me paint a picture for you. It just came to Paul's mind that this voyage is going to go down. He said, no. He came again. So he went to pray. After praying for an hour or two, the thing was still very strong. Is that he came and told them, let me tell you guys, this ship is going to go down. See, he didn't say, the Lord said to him, after careful. So a man can observe in the spirit. Oh, are you getting me, friends? A man can observe in the spirit by tongues and tell you, after careful observation, this is my conclusion. This ship is going down. And my God, it did happen. Are you getting the point? It happened. Tell you something that will help you all your life. All your life. All your life. That's why we are not stranded. Because we know what we know. You can just tell your friends, I perceive strongly that this lecturer would set this question. You know, some lecturers are interesting. So that they can tell you, you see this topic, don't read it, it will not come out. And once you enter the hall, have you ever met a lecturer like that? Once you enter the hall, I wonder why they do that. What's the point? Is that a derived on your students failing? I don't know why they do that. Don't read it, it will not come out. This one, I didn't think it will come out. That's number one. Compose you. And sometimes they will tell you to not show, and it will still not show. So how do we now know? There is a knowing in my spirit. So all those stories you heard us telling sometime ago, they say, oh, somebody went to buy something at the supermarket and that thing has expired and they changed the date. You should not be afraid. There is a knowing in your spirit. That you may not know what it is, but you can get to that particular product and say, I'm not going to buy it. Say, why? No, let's leave it. Let's leave it. Can get to that particular place to pay for your house. To pay for the house. After looking at the house, everything is fine. The water is rushing. Everything. Say, let me go home. That's why I've taught you guys in this church. I want to re-emphasize it. You see, when you are about to make a decision that will be difficult to reverse, let nobody put you under pressure. Nobody. Because what happens is that once you get under that pressure, once you are in a haste, you will not have time. Because let me tell you, you see, your spirit man is not always in a hurry. God is always in a hurry. You will not have time to actually look in. You are just excited. Oh, this house. And sometimes they tell you, you know, all these real estate people. It's not real estate, so agent. House agent. They tell you, if you don't pay now, this one is taken. This one is taken. That one is taken. This is the only flat left. And they come under pressure. Then you pay. No. If you do that, I didn't train you. I get to the point. I didn't train you. Let them pay for it. Show it to them before I came. They should pay for it. Are you following what I'm saying? Sir, what if I come and they really pay for it? Fine. God will give you something better. What you've done is that you've learned how to learn how to delay your responses. I'm not saying you should be slow in life, but learn how to delay. Let your pace be with the Spirit. Except you got there, and then you got there, the Holy Ghost said, this is it. Right? But apart from that, if you are not yet sure of what you heard, if you are not yet sure, Oga, tell them you are coming tomorrow. What will shock you is that that house they told you that somebody will pay for the last 2 months is still around now. As I'm talking to you, nobody has said for that. Currently, if our people in the other flat have packed out, because there's a problem with that building. It used to leak water. And the Lord has refused to work on it. As vowed. And you told them it's leaking water. I told you, once you pay today, we fix it tomorrow. So I'm not someone you can put on. That's what everybody around me already knows. I must go home. I must reach home. And I'm not going home because I just want to delay. I want to go and pray. And I really go to pray and wait upon the Lord. I want to consult the higher intelligence. I want to reach out to my spirits to hear what. Oh, Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will hear what he will say to me. That's how I do obey matter. So I'm not the type that will just jump because say, possibly let them pay for it. What I know is that what is mine will not be lost. Are you following me, friends? Never come under that pressure. And let me tell you, anything I say evil should take, I'm not paying today, and I come to where they paid for it, I don't ever regret it. Nothing you lost in an attempt to wait upon the Lord is actually a loss. If actually you are waiting upon the Lord. So young guy or young lady, a guy is asking you out and you say, give me time to pray. He said, if you don't say yes now, I'm moving on now. Okay, move on. Move on. So what if he really moves on? He should move on. He should be fast about that. He should marry next month. Are you following me? Nothing you lose in that process is actually a loss. Because that one you're saying, let me pray. It's let me pray. If you like me, tell me that you like me. Okay, I don't like you. Let me pray. I want to pray. How bad is it praying? You know, one of the brothers praying for his relationship in this church currently sent me a report recently. A lot of things in the report. One of things he said, sir, I'm liking this 3 months prayer pattern. Once you do it, we like it. Because the safety around it is strong. We want it to pray. The only place it will not benefit you is if we say you should pray. And you are reporting done. Done. And you are not praying. You are doing yourself. You are doing yourself. Really pray. And what happened is, by the time you go first week, second week, third week, fourth week, what you're going to begin to see is, you will no longer be dealing with whether it's God's will or not. God will begin to show you other things about that relationship. Other things that will show up in the marriage. It's when you are married, you will remember, God showed me this when we were praying. I'm telling you. But let's leave it. Are you still here? Just wait. Wait for the Lord to tell you something. There is something called waiting upon the Lord. And I feel the Lord saying I should emphasize that. Waiting upon the Lord is not wasting time. It is praying to know what He will say to you. To know what He will say to you. To hear Him. You're waiting upon Him. Do you know how to wait upon somebody? Have you ever seen a waiter in a restaurant? He comes with his pen and whatever, and he's waiting upon you. Sir, please, what will you have? That's the idea of waiting upon. You are waiting upon a person to hear what he will say. So you are waiting upon God to hear what he will say to you over a matter. And if you're not clear about it, just slow down. When you're being abaje, calm down. Because you're about to act foolishly. You're about to act following just your intellect. Do you know that even people who are not believers, they will tell you that when you think deeply, have you ever heard people say that, Captain? That there is some, and they actually know what they're saying. That when you think deeply, you know, one of the, I heard this from a mentor of mine in those days, one of these top US singers, all these, not believers, so not ministers, I mean, secular worldly singers. Big one, if I call his name, all of you know him. Big one. So this man of God said he went to one part, he went to the woods actually. And he saw this guy. He saw him, he was not looking himself. He was just there. He has been out of sympathy for weeks. So he was like, what are you doing here? He said he's about to release a song. He said, and so he said that when he wants to release a song, he leaves everything he's doing and goes to places he can be close to nature, where he can be very quiet. And just be on his own for a very long time. That's where all the inspirations will begin to flow. The devil is counterfeiting what God gave us. That's what I'm telling you. And they'll tell you, once they go quiet like that, you know, that's why many Christian singers and even secular singers, first album is a hit, second album a hit, from third album, rubbish. Because there is no longer time to sit down and wait. They are now stars. So once they enter studio, give me beat. Because they know that whatever they produce,
People will stream it. Are you getting the point? Now, observe what I'm saying. It's almost a pattern. Once he first have a second album, from the third one, or even the, some try to do till third one, from fourth one. Now, even Christians. It's disgusting with Christian music. It's disgusting. I hear sometimes say, So that you hear what they're singing now, you hear what they sang 5 years ago, you still prefer the one they sang 20 years ago. I think it should be getting better. Why is it not getting better? When they've not hit fame, they had a lot of time to sit down. That's why a believer, a minister, who doesn't know how to wait upon the Lord, his messages preached 30 years ago will be better than the ones preaching today. Are you following what I'm saying? But that's not the plan of God. The path of the just should be like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. But because we lose that culture of waiting, that culture of waiting. I said the Lord saying I should talk about this very strongly. That culture of waiting. That's why we lose out of that intelligence. That wisdom that we carry, we don't connect with it. Because we are rushing to where nobody sent us. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes learn to wait. Now, don't be slow in life. That's what I'm saying. Don't be slow in life. Don't be slow and say, I'm waiting. If you are really waiting, wait. And if you really wait well, God will get through to you. But if you are really waiting well and I'm not hearing anything, please keep waiting. Did you hear what I said now? If you really wait well, what I mean is, if you really pray as you should, God will get through to you. But if indeed you are praying as you should, and yet nothing is clear, don't move. It's better to be slower than God than to be faster than Him. The best thing is to keep pace with Him. But even it's better to be slower. Even the Igbos will tell you. No eburuchi uzo. That is true. If you run ahead of your God, you are about to embark on a journey of you go run tire. Yes. So just wait. Wait upon the Lord. Because your inward man knows something. And I heard the Lord say, He's yearning to tell you that thing that He knows. You can imagine how angels behave every time a believer makes a foolish mistake. He says, Kai, we were telling him. He was hearing it. But he didn't wait. He didn't wait. He didn't wait. Chances are, before you bought that property that is putting your life in danger now, you didn't wait. I just sold the thing to you and say, okay. How much? I'm paying. Or maybe you even waited, but you waited, you went to think. Don't go and think. Because when you go to think deeply, you are still consulting your mind. You are still consulting your natural intelligence. Consult something higher than that. It's beyond thinking deeply. Are you getting the point? Yes, think and analyze and all of that. But while you are doing that, be consulting your spirit. He knows something. So that's the inward witness. Tomorrow I will talk about much more other things like the inward voice. That is the inward voice. But let me scratch it today. And we close. There's a lot to say. I've never started, but let's just. That's the inward voice. So that way there is an inward witness, there's inward voice. So I just told you this inward witness is not a voice, it doesn't tell you anything. You just know things, just perceive. But that is the one that you will hear. Now, this hearing is not with your physical ear. You will hear with the eye, with the ears of your spirit. That is that one. Isaiah 30:21, he said, your ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right and to the left. That ear shall hear a word behind you. So that is also that hearing. But it also comes when we pray. When we pray. The hearing, for instance, what can you hear? You can hear an instruction. You can hear a word of correction. It can be a word of direction. Like in Acts 8 verse 29, the angel said unto Philip, join yourself to that chariot. That was a word of direction.
join yourself to thy chariot, that chariot. Yes. So you can hear that. You can hear direct instruction. Now, inward witness waits for things to be exposed to it. Sometimes, this inward witness doesn't wait for anything. It can just give you a fresh instruction out of nowhere. I get what I'm saying now. When inward witness is that there's something already happening and your spirit is reacting to it, sometimes there's something happening. God can just tell you something out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. So just go and begin to sell Okirika. He said, yeah. Okay, he said, yes. From nowhere. Clear direction. And it will come to many of you. Because the Lord said, I should say, for many of you, your next level is in the next instruction. Yes. Your next level is in the next direction that your spirit man is about to give you. Go and begin to sell beans. You say, ah, me, I want to be a millionaire. You're talking of selling beans. What you don't realize is this, and this is very serious. There is no business on earth that has not made someone a billionaire. I say billionaire. No business. You just need to have higher intelligence. A different way of doing the same thing. That God can supply. And you just start it and boom. Selling beans. And everybody's running crazy for beans. We are not dull. That's why I was telling some of you that are creatives. As you learn to wait upon the Lord, you can sit down in your room praying. And you have a logo design to do. Or you have a design to do. And you get clearly how to go about it. I've heard people tell me how they wanted to write this code. And they became so tough. And they prayed. After they prayed, they just got to know what to do. Sometimes what you will hear may not be the answer. It might be direction. You just finish praying and you just know that, okay, I think I should consult this website. And then you open it, but the answer is there waiting. Yes. Are you following me? I've seen God lead by his voice. I've experienced that a lot. And I'm not talking about hearing with your physical ear. I mean things you just hear in your heart when you pray. So how do I know it is God? You know it is God by that inward knowing. That's how we started with it. Well, sometimes we hear once, but the conviction will continue in your spirit. So if you hear and you're not so sure, pray some more. Now watch what your inward witness does with that thing. Watch how it reacts to it. If the more you pray, the more the knowing increases, then that was God that spoke to you. Sometimes what you can hear, for instance, can be a scripture. You know, you can be praying and just see a scripture. That just comes to your mind. Hallelujah. I told you guys that I had an accident. It's even an accident. It's an accident. It almost broke my leg. Stepped on a weak wood. You know this culvert? This in Nigeria. Marched on the wood. It's in Nigeria now. I didn't know that wood was weak. It fell inside. And hit. It was so bad. It hit on that concrete. I sat down inside the gutter. That's what I'm saying. It's not like I pretended. I couldn't stand. I couldn't raise the leg. People came around and helped me. The leg was stiff. And I was just pushing. But you know, immediately that happened, I just heard it clearly. None of his bones shall be broken. Oh, glory to God. That was enough. So they carried me like that to the pharmacy guy. He checked and said, I think... I was just wondering, but I think you might need to go to the hospital. The way your bone is like, they have to. So I looked at him. I told him, none of his bones shall be broken. So he laughed. He said, amen, 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 amen. I understand. I'm just saying, go to the hospital. I said, none of his bones. I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to me. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard. When he says it once to you, say it again to yourself till you hear it two times. Once has he spoken, twice have I said, none of his bones shall be broken. I got up. I was limping as I was going. None of his bones shall be broken. I went home, laid down. None of his bones. Anytime I tried to stand and I couldn't stand, none of his bones shall be broken. And I'm still alive. If you open my leg, you will still see how deep that cut was. Happened like over 10 years ago, but it's still there. But none of his bones is broken. Now, I heard a voice. Sometimes you might not hear, sometimes you just know, but I heard. Amen. How did I know it was time to, I was going to start this church. I heard clearly from the Lord. I want to raise my people on the exalted platform, the platform of my grace. Yes, I heard it from the Lord. I didn't think it out. I heard it from the Lord. So that is direction. So I'm not the type that wanted to start a church and I sat down and said, okay, let's forge name. So that's why when we started, we are called Platform of Grace. We are still called Platform of Grace. See now. When we went to do registration, they said, we can't register that name. They say, what other name? I said, I have another name. The Exalted Platform Church. Because Platform of Grace was just a part of what I heard. Now, I didn't hear the Lord say, this is the name of the church. But I heard the vision of the church. The direction. I get what I'm saying now. So you can hear. You can hear. You can hear scripture. We are praying over a bat and the scripture just rises in your heart very strongly. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. So the scripture just comes. Glory to God. You know, what's our word for this month? The good land. How did I know? I was preaching you on Sunday. I didn't even actually know before that time. I said, if you're here in the first service, I didn't say anything about the first service. But I was preaching on Sunday. That scripture just rose in my heart from nowhere. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. I knew it was it. I'm just telling you. It can be a scripture. But it will contain so much direction for that moment. We are actually supernaturally smart. Oh, yes. We are the generation who live ahead of our time. By the power. Yes, we live ahead of our time. Tomorrow I will say a few things around other areas. This is like one of the children of wisdom. You see, we can live ahead of our time. And you see the way I'm simplifying this thing. I'm going to simplify those things to you. All this word of knowledge, I'll break by God's wisdom. Break it down. So you will know how to look at somebody and say, thus says the Lord, by this time next tomorrow this will happen. And it will play out. How did Elisha know that food price was going to come down in Israel? Economically, mathematically, it didn't make any sense. But he thought that tomorrow, this will be the price of things in the market. Who talks like that? A man with a higher intelligence. There might be a scripture. Sometimes it's not even a scripture. Sometimes it's an insight to an existing scripture. Maybe the scripture that just comes to your heart and you just understand it in a very special way for that. Do you know what I'm saying? You just have this special insight into the scripture. You are praying over a matter. I just have that scripture rise in your heart. And it doesn't just come. It comes with a special insight. When I told you, none of his bones shall be broken. That particular word, actually, you know the thing about it? I know what that verse meant. That verse naturally is not talking to me. That verse was talking about Jesus. You know, right? How that when he will go to the cross, they won't break his bone. That was why they didn't break Jesus' leg. They pierced a sword through him. So I knew all of this. But when it came to me in that season, the insight it came with is your bones will not be broken. That the same way his bones were not broken, your bones will not be broken. Oh, wow. And that was it for that season. Now, I can't use that particular scripture to teach you many things. But in that season, that was it. Sometimes too, I will spend that for that tomorrow or next. It can be a song. That's another way your inward voice speaks. You can be praying and the song begins to sing in your heart. Sometimes a song you've never heard before. And sometimes a song you've heard before. It just begins to sing in your heart. A song you've not heard from anywhere begins to sing. And in that song, there is comfort. In that song, there is direction. In that song, there is the answer you're looking for. That is God speaking to you. I have heard songs sing in my spirit. Oh, glory to God. I have heard songs rise from my spirit. Sometimes it's a scripture. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes it's direction. But the point is, we can hear. Not with this ear, but with the other ear inside. So we are blessed people. Living in the best of two worlds. Living in the natural and getting the best. And living in the supernatural too. The best of two worlds. The best of two worlds. So we can hear. 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 You know, today I was watching a testimony by Pastor Mrs. Fulu Adeboye. That's Pastor Adeboye's wife. And she said one New Year day, you know, New Year, people gather around. People, is that Jesus? As people are keep, they're just coming. People will bring, some are even coming to bring food. Many people are there eating in the house. But then, being the mother of the house, and that's why women should learn this. Even though you're in your house, no matter how many people are in your kitchen, don't let your kitchen just stay like that. Anyway, that's by the way. So she went to the kitchen and saw this food and said, "Who brought this food?" And they said, "It's a soul woman." She said, "Okay. Serve it to the dogs." She said one woman there that came from the US. He said the only reason why she didn't insult her is because she's Mommy Gio. So how can somebody bring food, this quality food, serve it? So they gave the security man, serve to the dogs. About an hour later, the security man brought him, his dog was dead. So writing Pastor W. Asas, that would have been casualties. I feel what I'm saying. How do you know that? Are you following me, friend? How do you know that? How on earth? There is no scientific formula that can break, that can know that the food is poisoned. It's only by that intelligence that we carry. That's why you don't play with your life. Don't live carelessly upon the earth. How do you get to know that? Serve it to the dogs. What? 1 hour after, dead. The dog was dead. Now, also imagine the security man say, "Serve this sweet food to the dog." You guys feel what I'm talking about here? Be carry an intelligence. Don't run your home carnally. So we enter your home, they don't like your children. But there is no fear. We carry a higher intelligence. We carry it. We carry it. Oh yes. We carry it. Here and now, we are the light.
Yes, we are the light.
Yes. We are not afraid.
We are not afraid. As we will never ever know the fear.
We are up ahead.
We are up ahead. And the world is got to follow.
We are not afraid.
We are not afraid. As we will never ever know the fear.
We are.
generation.
We are the generation. We live ahead of our time.
We live in this world.
We live in this world. For by the power of the age to come.
We are the generation.
We are the generation. We live ahead of our time.
We live in this world.
We live in this world. For by the power of the age to come.
See here and now. Come.
Here and now.
Yes.
We have the light.
Here ya.
We are as free as the light.
Like the rain.
Like the rain.
Of the sun.
Of the sun.
Running to.
We are not afraid.
We are the generation.
We are the generation.
Who live
ahead of our time.
We live in this world.
We live in this world.
For by the power of the age
to come.
We are the generation.
We are the generation.
Hey, yeah, who
live ahead of our time.
We live in this world.
We live in this world. For by the power of the age to come.
Lift your voice and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Just take 5 minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost in this place. Don't stop. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. No syllable is a waste. No syllable spoken in tongues is waste. No syllable is empty. When we go back, we are not speaking empty words into the air. Woo! You are not without help. There is a higher intelligence in this life of God. We know all we need to know. We know beyond the human realm of knowing. We know beyond this realm of knowledge. Manderage shote la baba sata. You shall know what to do. You shall know what to do. You will see the step to take. You will see where you must go. Hey! We carry the light. In him was life.
That life was a light of men. The light that gives men direction is in us. It's an illumination. It's an illumination. You will show me the path of life. You will show me the path I must go. You will show me the step I must take. You order my footsteps. You order my footsteps. You will show me where it must be. I'm not one that will walk in darkness. I'm not one that will walk in darkness. Rabagadash. In Jesus' name we pray. Hear this. John speaking concerning him in John 1 verse 4. He said, in him was life. He said, and that life was the light of man. That life, that's the way that we received, is the light of man. Is the light that gives man direction. Him speaking about himself in John 8 verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You are not meant to walk in darkness, brother. Because that life in you is the light of man. That soul in you is the light of man. Eternal life that you carry is the light of man. And if you follow that light, you shall not walk in darkness. But you have the light of life. Amen. That shatter. Amen. That shatter. Amen. That shatter. Anemasadeya. Be rababadesh. Inebede. Inebede. Inebedesh. Ebe shodaya. Hey. Direction is in this meeting. Direction is in this meeting. Light is in this meeting. Hey! Enough of walking around like he that has no direction. We know how to walk. We know the path we must follow. We know where we must go. We know how we must walk. It is given unto us. Manamandesh. It is given unto us to walk the path we must. I know the path that I must follow. 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 For I have life. And that life in me is the light of men that shows men the path they must walk. Everybody is away. Healing is a way.
Yes, yes, yes. Onye nedu ọ gaghị ekwe ka ihere memo. Onye nedu ọ gaghị ekwe ka m laa n'iyo. Onye nedu m agaghị ekwe. Onye nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka m maa n'ọnya. Jehu nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka ihere memo. Onye nedu ọ gaghị ekwe ka m maa n'ọnya. Onye nedu m agaghị ekwe. Jehu nedu m ị gaghị ekwe ka m maa n'ọnya. Jehu nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka ihere memo. Jehu nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka m laa n'iyi. Onye nedu m agaghị ekwe. The Lord said, I should say to you, once you've confirmed that you are in my leading and my will for your life, rest your case, because you will not be put to shame. He said, your greatest concern should be, did the Lord lead me here? And once you've confirmed that he led you there, some of you saying, I said to you, I led you to that place. And so though it may not look like it, man onye nedu agaghị ekwe. Onye nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka m maa n'ọnya. Onye nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka ihere memo. Onye nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka m laa n'iyi. Onye nedu m agaghị ekwe. Jehu nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka m maa n'ọnya. Agaji ndu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka ihere memo. Onye nedu m ọ gaghị ekwe ka m kwobiri ụkwụ m. Onye nedu m agaghị ekwe. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Ooh, yes. So just be sure I'm leading you. And if you are sure I'm leading you, don't doubt it again, says the Lord. Just follow. But there is an end. There is an end. And at the end he shall speak. At the end it shall be clear that I led you there. At the end it will be clear that you followed me. For no one has ever followed me and got misled. He won't be the first. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. He said, no man that followeth me shall ever walk in darkness. He shall rather have the light of life. So just know that I'm leading you. And once you know, you can rest your case. Rest your case. There's an answer, says the Lord. That answer may not be in the textbooks, but it's in your spirit. If only you can look within your spirit. I've loaded it with answers. Every time you speak forth mysteries. In those mysteries, they are the answers you are looking for. So just look within and speak from within, and you will see that there is an answer, and they are never without help. Onye nedu agaghị ekwe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and just bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Woo! Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Bless him all over this place. Babylon de Shobara de Karada Badea da Barabada. For he has promised he will never fail. I will follow him. He has promised he will never fail. For his faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. Amaram onyem so. Onyem so. Onyem so na so. Amaram onyem so. Obo Jesus. Amaram onyem so. Onyem so. Onyem so na so. Amaram onyem so. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. The rock holds me. Yes, the rock holds me. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. I'm trusting on the rock. Obugi mujinku me, kama kuma ujim. Kume jim. Obugu me jim. Obugi mujim. Aya, kama kuma ujim. Ikuzoro. Jesus durum gafe, gosi miruye. Durum gafe, ajo wanka. Durum gafe, ikwa kwa niruju. Idurum gafe, hamam na chineke na kenyere maka. Olunke chineke, aga hisiri mike. Amam na chineke na kenyere maka. Olunke chineke. Eya. Aga me wero bimu jere chimozi. Aga malolo chimolo. Aga malolo nke honanya. Aga me wero bimu jere chimozi. Lolo chimolo. Olunke honanya. Amam na chineke na kenyere maka.
Olunke chineke aga esimike. Amam na chineke na kenyere maka. Olunke chineke aga esimike.
One of the major help we have in God is His direction, His lights. That light is shed on our path. That's the confidence we have to follow and to walk with Him. That's how we know we cannot be lost. That's how we know that we cannot fail. That's how we know that we will always win, because He leads us on the way. This is the confidence we have, that He will lead us. He doesn't send to abandon. He sends and He walks ahead of you. That all you have to do is to follow Him. And when you follow Him, you shall not walk in darkness. And you have the light of life. You will not be lost. The path is clear. The future is bright. It's looking very clear. Hey, just hold the lamp. Just follow Him. 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 Just follow Him.
Just follow him. Just follow him. Just follow him. Just follow him. Every step on the way, follow him. There is anointing in your spirit. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Follow him. The last few minutes were just for somebody. God said, I shall encourage your heart with those words and those songs. And those songs. Amam na chineke na genyere gi aka. Olu nke chineke aka hi siri gi ike. Ah, it will not frustrate you. Just walk with him. You will see the path that you must follow. I close by saying to you, I said that on this place, you're not knowing what to do. But you know, you really don't know what to do. You really don't need to know what to do. You just need to know who you are following. The answer is in the person, not in some formula. Are you following what I'm saying now? It's not in a formula. It's in a person. I followed that person. And he's in me. You know the beautiful thing about the man we follow? He doesn't walk and we walk behind. He lives in us. So we can actually follow from within. So how can we ever be lost? How can we ever make a mistake? We will win. Tomorrow we'll start praying here by 8 o'clock. At least by what I've taught you tonight, you've seen why we pray in tongues. Because once we pray, we open ourselves up. Pray for 4 hours tomorrow morning. Are you ready? 8 a.m. to 12 noon, non-stop. Marathon, no prayer charge, nothing. Just like that till 12. Then after that, we take some worship sessions and some recap. Then I start teaching. Is that okay? Tomorrow. Just get set. It's going to be a marathon from 8 o'clock. We're going to be here till like 2 or 3. So just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. There are days like that. You know the beautiful thing? After this Saturday, we just have one more Saturday and this meeting is over. And we come again for this stretch next year. So use it now. I get to the point. Use it. So be around here tomorrow. Be here early so that we can pray. Pray out your life. We'll have a moment tomorrow in the course of the prayer meeting where we will not have, there will be about 30 minutes or so where there will be no prayer point. Where we'll just allow you to just pray in tongues. You get the point? There will be that time. I'll just be praying in tongues. You commune with God and all of that. Are you getting the point? Of course, we're going to pray for different needs in the church. We're going to pray for people. But then there will be that time of just praying alone. Just praying in tongues. In tongues. On 30 minutes at minimum. Amen. That's where your eyes will open to many things. I tell you what to do as you're coming for prayer drive tomorrow. Expect to know things. That's why you have to come to prayers. Because you're coming to a conversation. Right? So expect to know things. Expect to see things. Expect to live with answers. You will be blessed.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.